Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt. Starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for June 21st in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by our founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, my fellow Americans. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Hope you had a delightful Father's Day. Father's Day weekend, incredible for me. Just a wonderful break from hard work and just a chance to spend time with God, family, and country. What a wonderful, wonderful thing that is. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. A quick announcement, which we'll announce several times through the broadcast. As you know, there's going to be a big event tonight. Tonight, let me just get my ducks in a row for this. They say this, we've decided to go big for the Arise USA Tour. Come join us for an unforgettable evening. That's tonight. They're on a nationwide tour. 86 stops, 114 days. It's live now. Yeah. They're going to resurrect faith, family, and freedom. Constitutional counties across the country is the focus. Event is today. 4 o'clock p.m. at Liberty Hall in Far West, Utah. Let me say that again. 4 o'clock p.m. at Liberty Hall. We're hosting an event. It's a meet and greet with guest speakers. Then 6 p.m., they're going to the Smith Family Park. That's right. And it's going to be, I guess that's just north of Liberty Hall and just west of Smith and Edwards, the huge country store there. And it's going to be huge, folks. There's going to be speakers. The bus wrapped. CSPOA bus will be there and more. Sam Bushman, Richard Mack, Rick Dalton, many others will be there. Kathy Smith hosting the event. Thank her for that. You want to learn more, lovingliberty.net is the place to go. That's lovingliberty.net. I'll be there. Hope you are as well. Trump said in a statement through his Save America PAC that the corporate media has admitted he was right about everything they lied about before the election. Sadly, that's partially true. Scientist Alina Chan said, hey, we dismissed the leaked lab theory because Trump was for it. It was scary to be associated with Trump, she says. Wow, that sounds very scientific, doesn't it? Their credibility is in crisis, ladies and gentlemen, is the truth. Absolute crisis, right? What a sad tale to tell. All right, on Saturday's broadcast, we had a guest with us for 2 hours. Liberty Roundtable Live special guest. His name is Steve Castle. He's an elected official right now on the Stevenson County, Illinois Republican Central Committee. And stevecastle.com is his website. BelovedChurchIllinois.com. He's a well-known pastor doing a great job. And Steve says, my personal ministry sends out pocket constitutions for free to anybody who requests them. Steve attended the January 6th Capitol events. I'm calling it the Capitol Meltdown. Riveting personal testimony from a live eyewitness. The FBI came to his door. We all wonder why. He didn't go into the Capitol. He didn't cause any trouble. He wasn't violent, none of those things. But they still came to his door, questioned him down for 45 minutes. Eventually, Steve got an attorney and said, don't even contact me. Talk to my attorney. They've never bothered him again. But Steve asks the wise question, who is John Galt? Relating to the Atlas Shrugged book. But we really have to ask this question. Who is Ray Epps? Ray Epps seems to be a provocateur, some kind of government undercover agent of some kind. Who is this guy? Who is Ray Epps? How is he involved? The government's getting caught with their hand in the cookie jar. FBI literally planning and plotting the January 6th event against a sitting president of the United States and against half the citizens in America. I mean, an insane proposition, but we're learning more about it every day. All right, we also, on the second hour, had our guest Steve Castle interview continue because it was so good. First pastor in the nation to file a federal lawsuit on First Amendment violations during the lockdowns. He filed them for the church and for Christians everywhere. He beat Governor Pritzker of Illinois into submission. He opened up all churches in Illinois, ladies and gentlemen, with his lawsuit, which he won with the Thomas More Center. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, here's what Steve is calling this. Ready? We call it divine providence. We call it divine intervention. Thanks be to Almighty God. Wow, what a great guy. What a leader. Anyway, I thought I'd bring that to your attention. Okay, that's a recap of the broadcast that took place on Saturday. And it's still available now at libertyroundtable.com. LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word, would you please? So I'm going to say it again. We've decided to go big. Tonight, Kathy Smith is hosting at Liberty Hall at 4 p.m. and at Smith Family Park at 6 p.m. the Arise USA bus tour. The CSPOA wrap bus will be there. It's going to be incredible, ladies and gentlemen. It's a meet and greet at Liberty Hall. The bookstore will be open and a whole lot more. Then we go over to the park for a lineup of speakers. And the Arise USA tour will be happening. You can see the CSPOA wrap bus and the whole bit. Hopefully, you'll be there. Lowell Nelson, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Oh, thanks for having me, Sam. Good to be with you.
How was Father's Day weekend, sir?
Well, it was awesome. We went to a family reunion over in Wyoming. They're in the Grays River area. Beautiful countryside, I mean, mountain land, trees everywhere, forest, blue, clear mountain lakes, trout in them, lots of fun in the sun and in the water, even the cold mountain lakes, there was still a lot of fun. And I saw a young moose, a female moose, had kind of a race with me on the road. That was a lot of fun. I came up on it.
Brian Regan, the comedian, would call them, they're moosing, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah, there's this dark spot on the left-hand side of the road I noticed as I slowed way down coming up on it, thinking it was going to be a bear, but it turned out to be a young female moose. And as I got closer to it, maybe, I don't know, 25 yards away, started running on the left-hand barrel pit side of the road, and I was on the right. And so it loped along like that for probably 50, 75 yards before turning left up the mountain. What a beautiful animal, Sam. What a beautiful
animal. Amen to that. God's creations are incredible. Now, you didn't turn left up the mountain too, did you?
No. I stayed straight on that highway. But, man, it was so fun, so beautiful to just ride along with it for roughly, you know, a football field's length, and then it turned up the mountain. But what a majestic animal. This is God's green earth. What a beautiful place to live.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, are you going to be at the Rise USA Tour tonight, Lowell?
Well, I'm thinking about it, Sam. I have another commitment. I got to jockey a little bit. But, you know, I'd love to be there. I think it's a great event, and I encourage everybody, you know, who's able to get there to be there. Sounds like a lot of good fun, and also a lot of educational information will be provided there. Lots of great speakers.
Amen to that. I'm going to be going to it. Hopefully you can make it as well. Call me if you want to carpool or communicate in any way on it, but man, would love to see you there, my friend. This event really, in my opinion, is big, and it's big primarily because of what it symbolizes, ladies and gentlemen. It symbolizes an effort to promote constitutional counties across the country and resurrect faith, family, and freedom. It's huge, folks. I'm just telling you right now because of what they're trying to accomplish. And I supported 1,000 percent, and I know you do too as well, lol. All right, let's talk about a reminder for another event. Speaking of events coming up and so many things to do, so many places to be, so little time. Reminder, Saturday, July 31st, that's the last Saturday in July. It's the last day of the month. Utah Campaign for Liberty's got a training seminar going on, lol.
In Sandy, Utah, there at the Salt Lake Community College, in the heart of the Salt Lake Valley, the school is going to go from 9 in the morning until 5 in the afternoon. Lunch is included, and you can go to just Google for, training school, Sandy, Utah, and it'll probably come right up. Basically, you register at the website, and then you attend the school. Now, normally, Sam, you're going to pay hundreds of dollars for this kind of training, even $1,000 for a full day of this kind of training. But the Utah Campaign for Liberty, we are making this available to you at a very reasonable price, basically at cost. Almost anyone can attend, and so particularly if you register at the early bird price this month, the cost is just $40. So, like I said, that includes lunch. We're going to learn some important political lessons, like the real nature of politics. And the biggest lie in politics, how to pick good political fights, how to hold your politicians accountable. So that's what we got on tap. Again, July 31st, Saturday this year, Sam. It's going to be great.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell Nelson, Sam Bushman on your radio.
My brother and two other boys were the ones that got in the car with her. And she was drunk. The road that goes to her house is like really windy, and she was taking that road at 80 to 100 miles per hour. And when it hit into the road there, her door flung open. She ran out across the street to get away from it. And the other three boys were trapped in it, and the car exploded. And then when my mom found out about it, she called me at work. I don't care what you have to do, just get up here to the hospital. You know, I parked my car and I went inside. They took us back to this little room. My mom told me that Jay had been killed. I lost it. The other people, they're like, well, you can drink, but just be careful when you drink, you know? So I don't want anything to do with it because it took my brother away from me.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay, abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org on your radio. RonPaulInstitute.org as well. We're talking about this incredible July 31st event. That's Saturday, July 31st, the last Saturday in July 2021. The Utah Campaign for Liberty organization is sponsoring a political leadership school at the Salt Lake City, Utah, Community College in Sandy, Utah, 9 in the morning till 5 in the evening. Lunch is included, and I put the link in the show notes so y'all can sign up there as well. Really important stuff they're working on, folks, because this is where the rubber meets the road. It's a lot of good to talk, to educate. It's another to get involved and make a difference, Lowell.
Great point, Sam, and this isn't just here in Utah. These schools are being held all over the country, and so You can, again, you can search for it. For example, there's one in Casper, Wyoming on the July 17th. So for anybody near Casper, I think that's, that school is open, but literally all over the country. And so when you do a search, make sure it's a FACL school, F-A-C-L, Foxtrot Alpha Charlie Lima. It stands for the Foundation for Applied Conservative Leadership. And if that's the school being held near you, then please do all you can to sign up for it and attend it. You'll learn things there that will amaze you, ways to make your political leaders, make them accountable for what they do. It's a fantastic training, well worth your time, and at a very low, reasonable cost. Sam?
There you have it. Ladies and gentlemen, what I like about this is it's not just people complaining about problems. It's people saying, look, we see an issue. We see a problem. We have a concern, and we want to address that concern in a productive, solutions-oriented way. Hey, the people don't know how to get involved in some of these things. Let's help them learn what they need to be doing. You know what? A lot of people care. More people care than they want you to believe. They love an apathetic population. But you know what? More people care than we can possibly imagine. The problem is people don't know where to start. People don't know who to associate with. People don't know, man, you know, I'm hearing all these crazy things. I don't want to be involved in the crazy things, but I do want to make a difference, right? How do people kind of navigate that whole thing? And this really, in my opinion, puts the rubber to the road when it comes to, you know what? These people have been tried and true forever. The leader of the organization is Ron Paul, who has been a legislator in the nation's capital for what, over 20 years? Okay, and he's now teaching people how he was able to remain constitutional through his whole stint as a public servant. And now he leads this organization, and there's many, many, many people that have elected positions that are all involved in this training across the country. It is incredible, not just for Utah, but for everyone. So it's a reminder, Saturday, July 31st, the last Saturday in July 2021, Utah Campaign for Liberty is sponsoring a leadership school in Sandy. 9 to 5, lunch is free. Anyway, I don't want to go on about it forever because we'll cover it over the next couple of weeks before it happens. But I'm telling you, it's riveting and critical. So two critical events on tap, one today, one July 31st. All right, America's soup brain president says the U.S. never interferes in other countries' elections. Caitlin Johnson with the incredible piece. I mean, this is just eye-popping of how bogus and dishonest it is. Lol.
Yeah, I couldn't believe he said what he said. Let me just tell you what he said. In three sentences here, he said this, quote, "Let's get this straight. How would it be if the United States were viewed by the rest of the world as interfering with the elections directly of other countries, and everybody knew it? What would it be like if we engaged in activities that he, meaning Putin, is engaged in? It diminishes the standing of a country that is desperately trying to make sure it maintains its standing as a major world power," end of quote. So he said this, with a serious face. I watched it on YouTube last night. And with a serious face, he said this, folks. He tried to make it sound as though the United States has never done anything like that, when in reality, the U.S. regime has been doing this for 70 years, Sam. We have been meddling in the elections of other countries directly for the over 70 years. And he stands up there and makes it sound like, that we don't do it. Caitlin Johnson, who wrote the piece, she said, "The fact that the entire press corps did not erupt in side-splitting laughter at this ridiculous utterance is in itself proof that the Western news media is pure propaganda." That's what she wrote in her piece. As you know, Sam, and as our listeners well know, the U.S. has directly interfered in dozens of foreign elections since the end of World War II. I don't know. Yeah, let's look at just several of those. I'll just read the countries that we've been involved in regime change. It'll take too long for me to read the year with the country, but of course Iran in 1953 is perhaps one of the most famous regime change operations. Here are others: Guatemala, Costa Rica, Syria, Egypt, Indonesia, British Guyana, Iraq in 63, North Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, Ecuador, Congo, France, Brazil, Dominican Republic in 1963, Cuba, Bolivia, Indonesia, Ghana, Chile, Greece, Costa Rica, Bolivia, Australia, Angola, Zaire, Portugal, Jamaica, Chad, Grenada, and that was 1983. I'm skipping a few. Fiji, Nicaragua, Panama, Bulgaria, Albania, Iraq in 1991, Afghanistan in the 1980s, Somalia, and the list goes on and on, Sam. And this is so commonly known. I mean, your listeners here at Liberty Roundtable probably know this like the back of their hand. But for the President of the United States to tacitly claim that the U.S. regime is not involved in regime change around the world, you know, when they don't like somebody, then they make direct efforts to oust that leader. And of course, they turn their guns on their own president.
Well, this is what's interesting about this one, too. Right now, they basically created a regime change in America. And now they're about to get caught on that. A lot of states are now starting to open up and say, I guess there was some vote fraud. More and more states are starting to look into this. More and more municipalities. The issue is getting hotter. And so this is an attempt to say, not only did we not do it in America, but we don't even do it worldwide. Just heightening the lie. And the more they dig in and try to lie, the more we expose them as fraudulent. The president built a bridge too far on this one, because now we can bring up where this is beyond documented. This is beyond debatable, to the point where the president, I mean, they used to do these kind of Pinocchio things, where if the president or somebody big lies like that, then they'll get these Pinocchios. This is like at 1,000, you know, 999 Pinocchios on this one, because even everybody knows it. It's easy as pie to document. Strangely, though, the mainstream press, it kind of gives them a pass and doesn't even question it or bring much up about it, even though they know differently.
Yeah, that's what's weird. You know, but that tells you a lot about the mainstream press. I mean, if a journalist asks a tough question of a president, you know, in a press briefing or whatever, I guess they have those White House press briefings all the time. But if you go ask a tough question, Sam, you've been involved in that kind of work. I mean, you're a journalist. What happens to you if you ask a really embarrassing or tough question of the president?
There's a lot of way to explain it. Let me use this example, Lowell, and I hate to just kind of steal the stage from your point, but I really want to tell a personal story. I remember one time I had done my show for several years, and I went to the National Association of Broadcasters event, and I met a lot of large radio networks, and there was a guy there by the name of Tom Starr. He's passed away now, and he was with Talk America Radio Networks, which was a big network. They had hosts on 300-400 stations at the time. And he looked at me and he said, Sam, you know what? I love your show. I want to syndicate your show. I can make you a rock star tomorrow. He said, but the only problem is, Sam, you got to quit talking about God. You know, I mean, I appreciate it and everything. You do great. But, dude, come on. A lot of Americans aren't Christian. A lot of people don't believe in your, you know, you're a Mormon. It just makes it worse. And I said, Tom, I'm not doing it. If God's out, then I'm out. I just can't do it. Tom, I'm sorry. It's just too core to who I am as a person, too core to the focus of the radio program, which I believe is without God, we cannot succeed. Okay? We must turn to God. Now, I get the differences in theology, I guess is the way to say it. I get that, and I respect that, and I don't have to dig into the keys to theology enough to divide us. But like the founding fathers and Ben Franklin said, do you expect the nation to rise without his aid? Do you expect the nation to return to the principles that made America great without his aid? So I just said, Tom, you know what? If that's out, I'm out. I can't do it. And he said, okay, well, you let me know when you change your mind. And I said, it isn't going to happen, but I appreciate it. When we come back, I'll finish the story. Because Chuck Harder then started talking about, he was with a program called We the People. He's no longer alive either. I hope that's not an omen for me. But anyway, I digress, except to say he talked about the Velvet Hammer. That'll finish my story in seconds with Lowell Nelson.
Your daily Liberty News Wire.
The audio to me is pretty low. I'll be right back. News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
American Airlines announced Sunday that it's cutting some 950 flights from its schedule to reduce the stress of its operations. The airline noted in an email statement that it's facing an incredibly quick ramp-up of customer demand. The National Transportation Safety Board announced Sunday it's investigating a fiery multi-vehicle crash Saturday on Alabama's Interstate 65 that killed 10 people, including 9 children, as storms swept through the southeast. The crash south of Montgomery, Alabama, occurred amid a tropical depression that triggered flash floods, spawned tornadoes, and razed dozens of homes. The New Zealand Olympic Committee has announced that Laurel Hubbard has been selected for the women's weightlifting team for the Tokyo Games. That will make her the first openly transgender athlete to compete in the event. BMX rider Chelsea Wolfe will become the first openly trans athlete with Team USA when she arrives in Tokyo as a reserve rider. This is USA Radio News.
If you're tired of the old cable news, you now have a choice. It's Newsmax TV. More than 40 million Americans are tuning in, making Newsmax the fastest growing cable news channel in America. Every minute, every day, Newsmax gives you the real news you can trust, with top analysts, hosts, and guests like Ben Carson, Mike Huckabee, Alan Dershowitz, Dick Morris, Nancy Brinker, Mike Reagan, Rudy Giuliani, and so many more. It's easy to watch. Find Newsmax on all major cable systems, or get Newsmax free on streaming platforms like Roku, Zumo, Pluto, YouTube, and most smart TVs like Samsung Plus and LG. Remember, Newsmax is different than most cable news networks. You can get it for free on your smartphone. So download the Newsmax app and start watching right now. Join the Newsmax revolution and get us everywhere. Online at Newsmax.com, on your cable channel, your smart TV, and your smartphone. Because when news breaks, you need a trusted source. It's Newsmax.
Colorado is putting more gun control legislation on law-abiding citizens. Jeremy Scott from the Oregon USA Radio News Bureau reports.
Three gun control bills were signed into law by Colorado Governor Jared Polis over the weekend, including one that allows cities and municipalities in the state to set their own gun regulations, as long as they are no more lenient than Colorado state law. A second bill requires the state to carry out public awareness campaigns to, quote, educate the general public about firearms. And the governor also signed a third measure that prohibits gun dealers from transferring firearms to another individual who has not undergone a successful background check or has been convicted of several specified misdemeanor offenses.
Healthier communities depend on the safe use of firearms and reducing the threat and impact of gun violence on all of us.
The flurry of legislative action in Colorado comes after 10 people were shot and killed at a supermarket in Boulder in March. And a week later, another mass shooting left 6 people dead in Colorado Springs.
Thanks for listening. We are USA Radio News.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking with Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, about an incredible column written by Caitlin Johnstone about the president literally lying through his teeth, or he's so ignorant he doesn't have a clue, don't know which, doesn't matter. America's soup brain president says the U.S. never interferes in other countries' elections. Now, folks, it's so documented that we interfere all the time in other elections that it's beyond debate. Without a doubt. Anyway, we were talking about what happens if you're a journalist and you decide to take on, I don't know what you call it, but literally the political no-nos. You don't ever challenge power like that if you say, hey, this is bogus. So none of the journalists spoke up when Joe Biden spun this incredible lie, and we're shocked in a way. But we're not shocked at all. We know how it works. We're just shocked because usually there's one or two that are kind of foolish enough to challenge it, and then they get fired over it and stuff like that. But in this case, they all know better. They lose access to the president. They literally have all kinds of issues and their job usually at stake, etc. But I was highlighting, I learned about this principle called the Velvet Hammer very appropriately by Chuck Harder, former host of For the People radio program. Chuck Harder and Jerry Hughes were my mentors in radio back in the day. But Chuck Harder, you know, what is the Velvet Hammer? The Velvet Hammer is what they do, Lowell, is they politely bring you in for kind of a chat. And I realized that Tom Starr had kind of Velvet Hammered me right from the start. It was kind of like, if you accept the Velvet Hammer now, Sam, you'll accept it going forward, which is, you know, you're such an incredible Well, you're just incredible, Lowell. Whenever you come on the air, we need to start a show for you, my friend, because you're so good. You bring irrelevant information, and so I butter you up on one side and really praise you and tell you how incredible you are. In fact, you could probably be brought on to do your own show, probably given a raise, Lowell, and everything. I mean, that's in the cards for you because it's just going so well. I mean, our salesmen would have an easy time, you know, getting some sponsors for your show and, you know, and then the Velvet Hammer comes. But, you know, we don't talk about God. We don't talk about the IRS or whatever they say. We don't talk about Big Pharma. You know what? We've got a lot of Big Pharma sponsors. It's just not helpful, Lowell. You understand, right?
It's a devious.
And so I got velveted and hammered by Tom Starr, and that's really what goes on. And so Chuck Carter documented it, how he got drummed out of MSNBC and some of the places that he worked for. And then Glenn Beck, many years later, after I told my story, Glenn Beck came back and said Fox did the same thing to him, quit talking about God, and so he walked over it. So this is well documented as well, but it's nicknamed the Velvet Hammer, sir. So that's my answer.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate knowing that story, Sam. It's so true. Because the Western journalists nowadays, you know, they exist simply to funnel propaganda into the minds of the public. That's their job. That's their role, I guess, in our society nowadays. And the way Caitlin Johnstone ends her article, basically, she says real journalists go to Belmarsh Prison for exposing U.S. war crimes there, speaking of Julian Assange, for example. So that's where you go, I guess, you know, if you talk truth to power. But fortunately, you know, you're still on the air, you're still alive, and there are a lot of people like you, Sam, and like Liberty Roundtable, lots of programs like Liberty Roundtable, and thank our heavenly thank heavens for this program and for others like it, Sam, for you and other people, courageous people like you who continue to talk about the truth of things on radio, whether it's internet radio, terrestrial radio, wherever and whenever, you know, people can always depend on you for the truth, Sam.
Well, thank you, sir. We do our very best to be truth-telling talkers, that's for sure. Jacob G. Hornberger with another hit it out of the park article, in my opinion. End the draft permanently. Jacob says, now, we agree on one hand, we disagree a little bit on the other. We'll get into that. But incredible article, this on the heels of the Supreme Court saying we're not going to touch this with a 10-foot pole about women being drafted as well. So kind of status quo for now, the Supreme Court chickened to touch it. Not that it was their purview in the first place, but it's interesting how they back away and say we're not going to really touch it at all. Right, Lowell?
That's right. The occasion for their decision was a challenge to the all-male draft. The plaintiffs brought a case and argued that excluding women from the draft was unconstitutional. Well, the Supreme Court decided not to touch that and basically said, we'll let Congress decide the issue. Now, their decision not to touch that is probably something with which I agree.
It's the correct decision. I'm just shocked that they decide they're not going to touch that. They usually meddle in all kind of things they have no authority to be meddling in the first place, is the only reason for the surprise. You would think that they would meddle in anything they're not supposed to and never touch things they're supposed to. But in this case, they got it right. It's just strange is why I highlight it. But I agree. It's not there. There's no authority. There's nothing on the table at the federal level for the draft in the first place.
That's right. And then Hornberger makes two suggestions. First, abolish the draft and the draft registration, and I agree with that one. But then he makes a second suggestion, which is a bit comical. I don't know why he made this, but he should know better. But he said, let's amend the Constitution to forever prohibit the draft. In other words, make it illegal, constitutionally illegal forevermore. But what he doesn't realize, Sam, it's already illegal. If it's not spelled out in the Constitution, then the states didn't give that power or that authority to the general government. Therefore, they don't have the authority to execute a draft. So that's, you know, I can't believe he made that suggestion, but he did.
Yeah, and what it reminds me of, Lowell, what it reminds me of is the balanced budget amendment. Okay, the states are already required to balance their budget. The federal government has no money in and of itself. The only money it should even have is the money to carry out its proper role and nothing more. And so we already have a balanced budget if we don't just start sucking from the federal government. All I'm telling you is then you create an amendment to balance the budget, and then they play games to get around it. You create an amendment. Well, let's have another amendment to defend the Second Amendment, shall we? See what I mean? I mean, where do we go with this kind of stuff is the logic. And the answer is not more government, folks. That's the bottom line. So I'm surprised that Jacob would propose more government meddling per se to solve the problem.
Yeah, and particularly if by writing it into the Constitution, then you're giving the general government power to legislate regarding that matter. So it's just backwards. I just disagree. But anyway, he writes here, every 18-year-old male is required on pain of felony conviction to register for the draft. Why? Because in the event of some major foreign war, make no mistake about it, the Pentagon will not hesitate to restore the draft because it will need soldiers to fight, kill, and die. Young men, and also most likely young women, will begin receiving draft notices ordering them to report to military facilities for training and service, quote-unquote, to their country. Right? So, I mean, that's, and with you know, Biden trying to gin up a war with the military establishment, trying to gin up war everywhere, you don't know where this is going to go. It may happen. The draft may come back. So, I don't know. It's pretty scary, Sam. I have a question for you, though. Did you register for the draft when you turned 18?
You know, I don't remember because I'm a totally blind person, so I think that I didn't have to, but I understood, and it was the time, and I think it was in place when I did turn 18. I know you were saying it was not. You don't think when you were there. You know, it's hard to know when that mandatory started, right?
Yeah, because I don't remember it, and so, but apparently that's the law now, Sam, and it's good for us to know what the laws are, you know. So because otherwise we commit three felonies a day, they say. But there's no difference between slavery and conscription, and one of the great things that Hornberger does in his article here, which you can find at ronpaulinstitute.org. is that he makes reference to a speech given by Daniel Webster in the U.S. House of Representatives in December of 1814, when the House was considering a bill to further the conflict with for the conquest of Canada. This is a piece of history I didn't know existed, Sam, till I was reading through this yesterday, preparing for this morning. Well, apparently the U.S. was involved in the conquest of Canada in the early 1800s, and Daniel Webster spoke up against conscription there in the U.S. House. And I find this very poignant, you know, some of the things he said.
Let me just stop you for a second, Lowell.
Yeah,
let me just stop you and tell you that it was 1973 that things changed, because there was, after World War II, kind of a draft in place or whatever. Not just sign up, but you still have to register for the draft. That changed, I think, in 1973.
Okay, good to know, Sam. Sam, thank you. And I would, I'm going to ask my representative, John Curtis, why he hasn't introduced a bill to eliminate the registration for the draft. I mean, I think that's a fair question. Why do we still have to register for the draft? The draft is inimical to freedom. I mean, they're opposites. You can have freedom or you can have a draft. Or you, basically, slavery. That's what a draft, that's what conscription is. It's slavery. And that's the point.
Amen. And Jacob brings up an incredible point about we should abolish the draft. When we come back, I'll make another point about this. Soak and Lowell finish up the commentary on this one. But we need to jettison the draft sign up, folks, immediately. Not make women part of it. I'll tell you that right now. Hang tight. Liberty Roundtable Live.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman, Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org, doing a phenomenal job. We're talking about end the draft permanently. An incredible article by Jacob G. Hornberger, which we really applaud. We need to end the draft immediately. The forced slavery is unacceptable. Why do we all have to sign up for a, quote, I don't know what you want to say. We're agreeing that we're on the list to be forced into war. Is that what we're saying? Ladies and gentlemen, let me make one point about this, then I'll turn it straight over to Lowell, which is this. You know, the founding fathers put war in the hands of the many on purpose. In other words, the House of Representatives, 435 people. And the goal was to say those 435 people are the closest to we the people and the broadest group to decide to go to war. They're the ones that hold the purse strings for budgeting and funding. They're the ones that can say yay or nay based on the plan to go to war. Do we have a plan to accomplish something to protect on a defensive measure the American people? Do we have a plan to get in, get it done, get out, or will it be an eternal war? And the goal was to bring it to the most amount of people to determine if it was a just cause or a just war. If it was, fine, let's get in, let's get it done, let's get out, but let's put everybody accountable for it on the record. Okay, that's been circumvented in America is the problem. And my final response to this would be, if there is a just war, and it is communicated to the American people transparently and openly, and the American people have their representatives vote and say, let's go to war, or vote to go to war against the people's will and risk being removed from office. See all these checks and balances in place, ladies and gentlemen? Anyway, my point is, if the people really decide to go to war, then you know what? When you get the majority of the people involved in something, it's usually just and right. And you put this accountability to the nation, to the people, to their representatives this way. The system works great. But my point is, you don't need to sign somebody up for a forced draft in that case. Because if the people will it to go to war, then people will voluntarily go sign up. People will voluntarily say, I need to serve my country. Good men have said to their wives and to their girlfriends and to their children, you know what, I'm so sorry, I love you. I don't want to go because I don't like war, but I must go. It is my duty. I can't preserve my honor if I don't go. You hear that from military men through the ages for a reason. So if the war is a just war, we won't have a problem getting the people to defend their home, their wives, their children, the sacred cause of America, our faith, family, and freedom. You won't have a problem getting defense from that. But whenever a war is unjust, dishonest, the lack of transparency, funded and fueled by the military-industrial complex, or some kind of dishonest narrative, then you've got to force people to go. Because they can see through it and call a halt to the con game. This is critical to know. Vietnam proves the point perfectly to a great degree. Anyway, there you have it, Lowell. Your thoughts?
You're absolutely right, Sam. You're basically saying you cannot preserve freedom by coercing people to fight for freedom.
It's just opposite. It's inimical to freedom to force people to fight for freedom. I mean, it's just plain silly. And I like the way Daniel Webster talks about it in his 1814 speech. He says, the people of this country have not established for themselves such a fabric of despotism. He talks about, it's not being written into the Constitution. The states didn't give the general authority that power. And I'm skipping half of this because I want to get to the heart of his quote. He says, sir, for the defense of his own house and home, then it's justified. But the battles which he is to fight in this case are battles of invasion. If, sir, in this strife he fall, if, while ready to obey every rightful command of government, he is forced from home against right, not to contend for the defense of his country, but to prosecute a miserable and detestable project of invasion, and in that strife he fall, 'tis murder. It may stalk above the cognizance of human law, but in the sight of heaven, it is murder. And though millions of years may roll away, while his ashes and yours lie mingled together in the earth, the day will yet come when his spirit and the spirits of his children must be met at the bar of omnipotent justice. So may God, in his compassion, shield me from any participation in the enormity of this guilt. End of quote. Talk about a powerful speech, Sam. I mean, these gentlemen back in the 1700s, the 1800s, they connected their acts in public service with a conscience of obedient to God, and they knew that they would be held accountable for every public act by a just God. And so here you've got Daniel Webster saying, no way are we going to go invade Canada, because if we kill any soul in this effort, which is, it's not a just war, basically, was what he was saying, a conquest of another country. And the reason I bring this up, Sam, is because we're involved in so many conquests of so many other countries without a declaration of war. None of them are just wars, and yet we send our young people off to war, and it's murder, Sam. These people who are making the decisions to send our young people off to war to fight these foreign conquests, it is murder, and they will be held accountable by heaven. Sam?
And it is murder on both sides, my friend.
Well, and it's murder of the people whose land we conquer, right? I mean, you talk about the hundreds of thousands of Iraqis who fell.
That's what I'm saying.
In,
it's murder on both
Iraq.
Sides. When we attack them for whatever purposes, and then they fight back in a way they're fighting back to defend their homelands is just on their side. What would you do if you were invaded? But at the same time, it really creates murder and mayhem on both sides, because neither side's just. I mean, we shouldn't be there, so they shouldn't need to fight back. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And I want to be very clear, the ones that fight the wars oftentimes are not responsible. They're not the armchair quarterbacks. They're not the leaders and the decision makers. I'm not here to criticize anybody who has served their country to the best of their ability. What we're talking about is the leadership putting us in these no-win, unjust wars is immoral and needs to stop. Therefore, Jacob Hornberger, absolutely right. End the draft permanently. And I submit once again, if you have a just war, transparently laid out before the people, you will not have problems with Americans standing up for their wives, their children, their sacred honor. Trust you, me. But when it's not a just war, you got to force. The record has been replete with historical realities on this since Cain killed Abel, ladies and gentlemen. Let's be very clear indeed. All right, moving to another piece before the end of the hour with Lowell Nelson, just full of great, hard-hitting topics to discuss. A look at COVID-19, school guidelines, how they're affecting our children. Layla Centrier, how do you say her last name? Centrier?
Centner.
All right, there you have it. Layla Centner doing a great job. What, she is involved in education, private sector in Florida?
Yeah, that's right. Has her own school down there, Sam, in Miami, Florida. About 300 children attend her school. And not once during this past 18 months of lockdown have they, followed the CDC guidelines for masking and physical distancing, the plexiglass separation, all of that stuff. None of that stuff did she do at her school, Sam. Truly a great example of, and I'm hearing more and more, there are many other examples, but I just wanted to call this one out and tell people, you know, I don't know, you might think this is old news now because we're not masking up here in Utah, but there are probably some states that are still, you know, being forced to wear masks and to physical distance and stuff, right, Sam? Aren't there still some states that are they're hogtied that way?
Oh, without a doubt, yes. There's some states that are hogtied that way. And even our state is some degree hogtied. Things aren't perfect. There's a lot of manipulation of all kinds of requirements and mandates and things like that that are happening. I'll give you an example. All the way across the country right now, the narrative is being pushed. You know, Walmart has a sign up that says if you're vaccinated, then you can, you know, come on in without a mask. But if you're not vaccinated, wear a mask. It is the honor system. So the problem with that narrative is if I have to go buy groceries and I don't want to wear a mask, I either got to put on a mask by force if you're going to appeal to my honor, to my honesty, or I got to not go into the store. Well, the problem with that is, you know what? I don't want to wear a mask and I don't want to go into the store. But in order to go into the store, I must affirm one or the other, either vaccination by my honor or by my honesty, or wear a mask. How do you rectify that? Because they're literally putting you on record now. I don't know if they'll eventually start arresting people and say, you know, you've claimed you've been vaccinated because we've seen you go into Walmart 50 times, but we don't see a vaccination card for you on file. We've documented this. The cameras have recorded every time you've rolled into Walmart and maskless lying to the state. And you know, will this come back to bite us? We're being turned into criminals by the very nature. Can I not go buy food? You know, can I find a store that allows me to be free? Can I, what are my choices now? And they're literally documenting by cameras, by the private sector, my honesty. And then that can be brought up and say, look, Sam, you're just a flat out criminal. You've gone into Walmart 1,000 times over the last 8 years saying that you are vaccinated. And we all know you're not, Sam. And so what gives here? What's going to happen? So I bring this up because whether we're talking about specifically school and the nuances there or life in general, the point Layla is making really resonates for every one of us worldwide, but especially in America, Lowell.
Absolutely right. You know, her policy at her school, she wrote this to him earlier this year, said, it is our policy to the extent possible not to employ anyone who has taken the experimental COVID-19 injection until further information about it is known. And so basically none of her staff, teachers, have taken the injection, nor did they require masking and physical distancing during, you know, the past 18 months. And so basically they don't want people who have taken the jab to be shedding on other people, you know, at the school. And not a single person at her school, you know, came down with COVID, right? And so basically she mimicked what she saw happening in Sweden. And the way they targeted, they actually protected their older people, but allowed everybody else to continue life, basically, continue to live life. That's what she did at her school right there in Miami, Florida. No ill effects, Sam. And so, you know, that's a great example. I just wanted a good news story to sort of end the hour on. But one other aspect from this article I want to point out is that when you've got people, and when you've got children in school in masks and sitting behind plexiglass and not being able to interact with their buddies during lunch, not able to talk to each other, have to physically distance from one another, what you're creating in the minds of the children is anxiety. And, you know, and so the fight or flight instinct kicks in. She actually had a doctor, a pediatrician, talk about this, that in fight or flight mode, you don't think, you simply act. And so what does that say for schools around the country that put children in a fight or flight mode and then expect them to think? There's no way. They can't do it. You're asking the impossible of a human being to put them in fight or flight mode and then expect them to think in school.
One last point on this fight or flight mode that people are in. When you say it teaches people not to think but to act, yes. And what it really does is it breaks down the normal trust that we have for other human beings, and it replaces that with mistrust. Fight or flight is in a lack of trust scenario. You don't go into fight and flight mode with trust on your mind or faith or hope on your mind. Okay, beware of that. Lowell, thank you. Hour one in the can, two coming up. Dr. Scott Bradley with me. God save the Republic of the United States.